إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وبعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. أما بعد، عن جندب ابن سفيان رضي الله تعالى عنه ورضاه قال: اشتكى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم يقم ليلتين أو ثلاثا، فجاءت امرأة فقالت: يا محمد، إني لأرجو أن يكون شيطانك قد تركك، لم أره قربك منذ ليلتين أو ثلاثة. فأنزل الله عز وجل: والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى. On the authority of Jundub ibn Sufyan رضي الله تعالى عنه ورضاه, who said, the messenger of Allah صلوات الله وسلامه عليه fell ill. The messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم became sick and did not stand up and pray qiyam, that is tahajjud or qiyam al-layl, for two or three nights. Then a woman came and said, O Muhammad, I hope that your shaitan has left you. I have not seen him coming near you for two or three nights. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He revealed this noble surah or chapter of the Quran, Wadduha, by the forenoon after sunrise, Wallayl idha saja, and by the night when it darkens and stands still, ما ودعك ربك وما قال, your Lord, O Muhammad, has neither forsaken you nor hates you. The ulama of Islam, of this noble religion of Islam, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, He begins what is called al-qasam. He begins with an oath or swearing, as He does in other chapters of the Qur'an, especially at the end of the Qur'an, where He says, وَالْفَجْرِ, or He says, وَالْعَصْرِ, or He says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَطُحَاهَا, or He says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by those things that are makhluqat. He's swearing by those things that are created. And someone may ask the question, how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by that which He created, when we know that the scholars of Islam have not made it permissible? It is not permissible from the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to swear by creation. It is not permissible for a Muslim to swear by the prophets, or to swear by the angels, or to swear by anything that is created, mountains, or the sun, or trees, or anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And the ulama of Islam, the scholars of Islam, they say that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by His creation, because Allah can swear by whatever He wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can swear by anything that He wants. And when He swears by His creation, swearing by His creation shows the tremendous nature of that thing that He's swearing by. Because the one who's swearing is the most tremendous. He's the most magnificent. He is the greatest. He is the stupendous. He has all the attributes and names of glorification and magnification. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He swears by these things, it shows the greatness of those things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالضُّحَى, by the forenoon, after sunrise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by الضُّحَى, which is a created thing. It is a time period in the day after the sun rises, almost up to the time of al-dhuhr. And this time has light in it. It has diya' and nur in it. It has light and illumination. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, وَاللَّيْلْ إِذَا سَجَى. Allah swears by the night when it darkens, when it envelops and stands still. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ. Your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has neither forsaken nor hates you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this noble surah or chapter, He is informing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of what that woman did and what she said. That woman who was the wife of Abu Lahab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about him and her. This woman, تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. He talks about her and her husband. This is the same woman that came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, يَا مُحَمَّدُ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُ أَنْ يَكُونَ شَيْطَانَكَ قَدْ تَرَكَكَ. O Muhammad, I hope that your shaitan has left you, for I haven't seen him coming near you for two nights or three nights. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a solace to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's causing tranquility to descend on the heart of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's giving peace and calmness to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the statement, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ. Your Lord, O Muhammad, has not forsaken you, nor does He hate you. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ اتَّخَذَنِي خَلِيلًا كَمَا اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah has taken me as a close friend, and as he took Ibrahim as a close friend. So brothers and sisters in al-Islam, you should know that if you keep your duty to Allah, that if you keep your duty to Allah doing all the things that are obligatory and staying away from those things that are prohibited and shrouding those obligatory acts with the things that are highly recommended, and you stay away from those things that are disliked even though they're not prohibited, and you worship Allah as though you can see Him even though you cannot see Him in this dunya, in this life, and inshallah we will see Him in the next life. If you keep your duty to Allah, worshiping Allah as though you can see Him, even though you cannot see Him, you know that He sees you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never, ever, ever forsake you in any of your affairs, whether they are political affairs, or economic affairs, or social affairs, or religious and general affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forsake you ever, because you will receive a portion of what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received, which is not to be forsaken, and nor will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to His Prophet in another verse, وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. So wait patiently, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the decision of your Lord, for verily you are under our eyes. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watched the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ, who sees you when you stand up at night in tahajjud. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَلْآخِرُةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And indeed, the hereafter is better for you than the present life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Messenger of Allah, and He tells us in general, that this life is not better than the next life. وَلَلْآخِرُةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And indeed the hereafter is better for you than the present life. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only took from this dunya, this life, this temporal mundane existence, that which he needed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. He only took from this dunya that which would gain him, and it gained him the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he knew for surety, with yaqeen, with the utmost yaqeen and certainty, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise is true, and that this dunya is worth nothing whatsoever. In fact, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Raka'at al-fajr, that the two sunnahs of fajr are khayr min ad-dunya wa ma fiha, aw kama qalu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the two non-obligatory rak'ah, the two rak'ah before you make fajr prayer, is better than the entire dunya and everything that exists in the dunya. As Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said, the dunya doesn't mean right now only, but it means from the very first time that Allah created the dunya all the way until Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of standing, everything that has any value whatsoever, the two raka'ahs, fajr, sunnah, is better than that. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Mali walid dunya, innama mathali wa mathalu dunya karakibin dhalla tahta shajara thumma raha wa tarakaha. I have nothing to do with this world. The parable of me and this world is like a rider who rests in the shade or under the shade of a tree, then he passes on and he leaves it. This is hadith, is connected by Imam At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah rahimahumullahu ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Inna abdan min al-ibad khayyarahu Allahu bayna an ya'ish fi ad-dunya ma sha'a bayna an ya'ish wa bayna liqa'i rabbih fakhtara liqa'i rabbih aw kama qalahu sallallahu alayhi. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah has chosen for a slave, and he said this while standing on his minbar in the blessed city of Al-Madinah. He said in his blessed masjid while standing on that minbar, Allah has chosen for a slave from amongst his slaves to live in this world however long Allah wills that slave to live. And between meeting his Lord and choosing the meeting of his Lord, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose his messenger to choose the meeting with his Lord. In other words, brothers and sisters in al-Islam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was talking in general, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a slave from amongst his slaves to live in this world, and however long Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that slave to live in this world, and he gave him the choice between meeting his Rabb, meeting his Lord, and staying in this filthy, stinking, good-for-nothing life. The life of this world, the dunya. And when Abu Bakr, who was sitting in the audience, in the masjid that day, when he heard the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say this, he began to cry. And the people looked at him, wondering why he was crying. It is because of the knowledge that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa radahu, had. He was the most knowledgeable of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His character, his behavior, his knowledge, his wisdom, his cheerfulness. He was the most knowledgeable. So he cried because he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa radahu, he knew that that slave, that the Messenger of Allah, I never mentioned his name on the minbar that day, was he himself, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And then Allah says in this noble surah called Wadduha, and verily your Lord will give you all good so that you shall be well pleased. The scholars of Islam, they say that this, that will make the Messenger of Allah pleased, is maqam mahmud, that praiseworthy station, that station that he was given, that no other prophet or messenger was given or will ever be given. No other prophet was given, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was given this even though the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is included amongst those prophets of messengers who are ulul azm, Those five prophets or messengers and messengers that were endowed with firm determination and resolve and patience and tolerance, like Nuh and Isa and Musa and Ibrahim, on that day when the slave will go to each of those prophets, each one of those prophets will say, "Nafsi, Nafsi, I'm afraid for myself. I'm afraid for myself, go to the next one." And then the next one will say the same thing, go to the next one. And the next one will say the same thing, go to the next one. Until they will have to go. They, meaning all of us, will have to go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we want to remind the brothers that sitting in the masjid with your fingers interlaced like this is dislike for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He prohibited us to interlace our fingers while we're waiting for the prayer, whether outside waiting for the prayer or inside the prayer, inside the masjid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Messenger of Allah maqam mahmud, a praiseworthy station that no other prophet or messenger will ever receive. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that soon we will give him, we will give you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which will make you please. أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did he not find you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yateem? And then he gave you a shelter? Did not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you pleased with, and found you an orphan? Found you an orphan, a man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who never saw his father, who never heard the voice of his father, who never touched his father or was held by his father. He became an orphan by way of his father, even though some of the scholars of Islam, they say that if one child, before he reaches the age of puberty, if he loses his mother and his father, he is a yatim. He is an orphan. But the reality is, and that which is most correct, is that a person does not become an orphan by the loss of their mother, but rather they become an orphan by the loss of their father before they reach the age of puberty. أَلَمْ يَجِدِكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did he not find you an orphan and gave you refuge? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother, Amina, she was carrying him in her belly, and his father died, never getting the chance to see him, never getting the chance to be held by him. And then after he was born sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that he would lose his mother. So we found him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we found him an orphan. You an orphan, O Messenger of Allah. And we gave you shelter. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And he found you unaware. He found you ضال. And here the word ضال does not mean the same as it does in Al-Fatiha. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. For here, this is talking about the disbelievers. As for the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. We found you wandering. We found you unaware. We found you غَيْرُ عَالِمْ. We found you not knowing, meaning the details. The details of the principles of a tawheed for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never, ever, ever before he became a prophet, a kafir. He was never a kafir and he was never a mushrik, but rather he didn't know the details of the Islamic rulings and laws of wudu and salah and tayammum and jihad and nikah and talaq and the like. He did not know the details, but he knew whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, never ever being a kafir from the day he was born, for he was a believer in the belly of his mother, and he came out a believer from the belly of his mother, not like Fir'aun, who was decreed as a disbeliever in the belly of his mother, and came out a disbeliever from the belly of his mother, and died a disbeliever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's speaking to Muhammad and about him. and he found you unaware of the Quran and its laws and the nubuwwah, the prophethood, and he guided you. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Allah has taught you that which you knew not. And in another ayah, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَسْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ. Neither did you, O Muhammad, read any book before this Quran, nor did you write any book whatsoever with your right hand. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing His Messenger, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, huwa alladhi ba'da fil ummiyina rasulam minhum. He it is who He sent among the unlettered ones, a messenger from amongst them, meaning one who could not read or write, one who did not know the details. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And He found you poor and made you rich. He found you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, poor, and He enriched you. The ulama of Islam, they say that this richness is of two types. The first type of richness, He enriched him with detailed knowledge of Allah and Islam. And He enriched the Muslims by the way of Muhammad, by way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, He allowed them to conquer the lands. He allowed them to conquer the land by way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah enriched the Muslims who were poor in general. And the second type of richness, the ulama of Islam, they say, is the enrichment of the soul. For if someone does not know who Allah is, then he is wretched, he is despised, he is poor, he is needy, faqir and miskeen. He is a wretched soul if he doesn't know who his Lord is. On the other hand, if he has no wealth and he knows who his Lord is, then he is indeed, wallahi, is indeed he is wealthy. Wallahu musta'an. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulihi al-ameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. Amma ba'd. Fa amma al-yateema fala taqahar. Therefore, treat not the orphan with oppression. Treat not the orphan with oppression. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabiullah wa Rasuluh, the Prophet of Allah, His Messenger and His Abd, His slave. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was yateen. So when we read this surah or hear this ayah specifically, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. And as for the orphan, do not oppress them. Meaning do not oppress them physically, and do not oppress them by way of their wealth, and treat them kindly. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever just places their hands on the head of the orphan, that is one who has died, whose father has died before he reached the age of puberty, by just putting your hand on his head and rubbing his head, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, will have mercy on that person. Just by placing their hand on the head of an orphan and rubbing it. And the one who takes care of the orphan in a just manner, in a correct manner, then they will be as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He raised his blessed hand and he made a space very small, very even difficult to see. The space was so small. He said he and that person will be like this on Yawm al-Qiyamah, with very little space between his fingers. Wouldn't you like to be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that close, brothers? The answer is, of course, yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And as for the one who is asking, do not repel them. And as for the beggar, do not repulse him. The ulama of Islam, they say that السائِل, the beggar, the asker, the one who is petitioning you for something, this also has two meanings in this ayah. The first meaning is the one asking about knowledge, the knowledge of Islam. This shows that you must have some type of rank. If the person comes to you, the scholars of Islam say, If the person comes to you asking you something about Islam, something about wudu, something about the aqidah of Islam, this shows that you must have been given some type of rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever level that rank is, or they would not be coming to you asking you. So if they come to you, then you should not repel them. You should not repulse them. You should not turn them away. As for the second type of as-sa'il, the one who asks you for money, then you should not turn him away. You should not turn him away. As for the first type, the one who asks you about knowledge, then if that person asks you, you should give him the information from the Book of Allah and from the authenticated Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, if the person desires some tana'ud, some abstinence of any type whatsoever, and they've already asked the scholar or the student of knowledge or the knowledgeable person in general a certain question, and then they come to you, then Shaykh al-Uthaymeen can say, you can say to that person, ittaqillah ya fulan. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you asking me after you've already asked someone else? Are you playing with the religion of Allah? As for the person who asked you for money, then you should not repulse them. Do not repel them. But Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, if that person is known to be frivolous, if that person is known to have a drug problem, if that person is known to have a gambling problem, if that person is known to be reckless with their money, then you are obligated to repel them. And that person cannot recite this verse to you because it does not apply to you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And as for the ni'mah of Allah upon you, as for your blessing from your Lord upon you, and proclaim, Allah says, then proclaim the grace of your Lord. The ulama of Islam, they say that this ni'mah mentioned in this ayah is an-nubuwwah, is prophethood. There are other scholars of Islam, they say no, it is general. And there are other scholars of Islam that say, no, there are three things. Those three things are mentioned in this surah. The first, we found you an orphan and gave you shelter. We found you unknowing and we gave you guidance. And we found you poor and we enriched you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters of Islam, when He gives you anything, clothes, shoes, a nice car or the like, then you should proclaim the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should tell the people about that blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should proclaim that grace and that bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us have been given a beautiful wife, an obedient wife that looks good to our eyes when we see her. And she enjoins us in the good and forbids the evil. You should proclaim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you. Those of us who've been given an imam that leads the people correctly, he's an imam that gives them the correct aqidah and teaches them the way of the Salaf al-Saleh. This is a ni'mah from Allah. You should tell the people, we have a good imam. We have a righteous imam, inshallah, wallahu asibuhu. And Allah will hold them account. As for those people who've been given a ni'mah, and they do not want the people to know, then the ulama of Islam, they say, that if you fear that that person will give you some type of envy or jealousy or evil eye, then you can keep that ni'mah to yourself. That you should only tell the blessings and the bounty and the grace to those whom you truly know are concerned with you and truly love you. As for those people who don't want any good from you from amongst the Muslims, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَقْصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا. And when Yaqub said to his son Yusuf, O my son, relate not your vision to your brothers, lest they should arrange a plot against you. And the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إذا رأى أحدكم ما يحب فلا يحدث به إلا من يحب. When any one of you he sees something that he likes, then he should not relate it to anyone except whom loved him and he loved him. Or as some of the wise people of the past have stated, استعينوا على قضاء الحوائج بكتمانها فإن كل ذي نعمة محسود. You should earn the assistance of Allah and the help of Allah for fulfilling all your needs by being quiet, by being silent. For every owner of a blessing is envied. In other words, don't tell everyone. Don't tell everyone about the blessing that you're going to get a new job, or you're going to get a job in Kuwait, or you're going to get this or that, because some people don't care about you. In fact, some Muslims want to see harm against you. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين.